Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio Nation, you are tuned into the 411 Lounge. I am your host, LeVar Evans, and my guest today, I'm so honored that he is able to stop in. Sean XLG Mitchell is perhaps the ultimate hip-hop trio. He began his career with Foxy 99 FM in Fayetteville, North Carolina, promoting platinum hitmakers from Rockmaster Scott to the Dynamic 3 to MC Hammer. And as an artist, Sean XLG is the first rap artist to win a national music competition. He currently works as a freelance writer and is the creator of the hip-hop category Adult Contemporary Rap. And you can catch him at his website at www.seanxlg.com. And he also has a couple of books out and one on the way. Those two books that are out is Throw Your Hands in the Air, The Funky Evolution of Hip-Hop, and The Roof is on Fire, 101 Greatest Moments in Hip-Hop, and his upcoming book, Hip-Hop Hooray, celebrating 30 years of rap music. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, and I'd like to thank you once again, Mr. Sean XLG Mitchell. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Glad to be on. Glad to be on.
Well, I've got so many questions because I want to kind of go back to through your history first before we can kind of get into the books. For those out there now, you know, that's quite a, you know, a resume already, you know, before we even get into the part that you are an author, but tell us a little bit about your recording artist history and, you know, how it brought you to, you know, present day now writing books on the very subject that you were in.
Okay, well, recording history basically started, I pretty much started rapping in 1979, not telling my age, but I was younger at that time, but I started rapping in 1979. Ironically, I started down when I was I'm a military brat, so I was in Carolina at the time when Rapper's Delight first came out. So I picked up on it early on without really understanding the full gamut of what was going on in hip hop. So I kind of caught on from an early stage, which was good because it helped me to kind of understand later on, you know, as I was coming up in hip-hop. I started then, and I started doing shows basically in high school, started doing some shows, and then I signed with a record label back in 1988. So I released a song called There's a Party Inside My Car. Did some TV shows, get some radio play. Won the National Music Competition in 1990. Did a compilation album with Black Diamond Records with the song Bad Girls Wear Black in 95. Recently did a compilation album with Charlie Prince of Rockmaster Scott and the Dynamic 3, the group that did The Roof is on Fire and Request Line from back in 1984. So we got an album out from The Dark Womb, which is currently out now, available on iTunes. So I have Charlie and I are featured artists on the album, and it's pretty hot.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, definitely. If you've got anything else to press out there, then let the folks know. And you, like you said, you find that on iTunes. So I want to kind of get to, first of all, I guess the two books before this upcoming third one here. And, you know, for a form to me, such as hip-hop or, you know, rap, you know, we find thousands upon thousands of books on rock and roll, you know, thousands upon thousands of books on, you know, rock music in general. Why is it, you know, for such a form that's, you know, often imitated, don't we find a lot of books on the subject?
Yeah, that's pretty ironic that hip-hop, as popular as it is, I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And so the fact that you don't have a lot of books on hip-hop is really mind-boggling. You know, I think that's one of the things that I'm working on. In the past, I've kind of connected with a few other rap artists, some of the icons of hip-hop who have books out, and we were actually trying to put together a plan to do a tour to sort of promote literature throughout the hip-hop community, and then going around from city to city doing book signings. And in fact, I reached out to Shiraka, the legendary Funky 4+1, and Dana Dane, of course, Cinefella Dana Dane fame. And, you know, we kind of threw that out there, trying to get something going. And we're actually still looking in that direction to try to get something going on a national level where we can have sponsorship and that type of thing, where we can kind of have the first ever Fresh Fest book tour. So that's something that I'm looking forward to. And, of course, my man Kurok Skid, the Fat Boys, you know, we're working on his book as well. So hopefully, you know, he'll be a part of that. And, you know, all of us will be able to kind of go around from city to city promoting books and on hip hop and, you know, just kind of bringing this particular area of hip hop to the forefront. Because, as you know, the music is there, you know, the DJ is there, the breakdancing is there, graffiti is there, but the book aspect of hip hop hasn't gotten there yet. So that's what we're trying to work on and trying to push that out there.
Now, speaking of Kool Rock C, he actually penned the introduction to your other book, The Roof is on Fire, 101 Greatest Moments in Hip Hop. And, you know, it, for those of you out there who, and I'm going to put it out there right away, you can find those books on Amazon as well. And, you know, it's a great book that details the success of, you know, a lot of mainstream artists, you know, like Lil Wayne or Eminem or Jay-Z, to the legends like Run-DMC and Grandmaster Flash and Salt and Pepper, and even from, you know, the hit films. I mean, the ones that, you know, we all remember, like, you know, Crush Crew and, you know, Hustle and Flow, and every era in that is explored and documented. And, you know, what was, I guess, the one question, like I said, I want to get through, I guess, for all of your books, I guess, how is the research process for this? Because, like I said, there's not a lot of written about this. How did you go apart in, you know, getting all this research done for this? I'm pretty sure it was a breathtaking task itself to try and chronicle at least 25 to 30 years of this when there's been, you know, because, like I said, still new in terms of music style, but, you know, it still has a lot of rich history. A lot of rich history that I don't think, sadly, that a lot of young kids know. How did you go apart and getting the research for this and getting it out there?
Oh, well, actually, when I first came into hip-hop in 79, I fell in love with it instantly. And because of falling in love with hip-hop, I became a fanatic growing up. You know, everything I did was centered around hip-hop. And so, you know, I was the type that I would go out on Saturdays, and I'd hit the mall, and I'd go buy records. I started my record collection, and I would hit the bookstore, and I'd start a magazine collection. I'd start picking up all the Right On magazines, the Black Beat magazines, and so I became a real big fan of hip-hop from the beginning. So a lot of that information, and then, of course, working with Foxy 99 and then, you know, meeting some of the artists and then just kind of getting an inside scoop of some of the things that were going on in the industry in general. And, you know, all of that kind of helped out. And then when I started recording and doing some shows and just the whole gamut really just kind of helped me to have a lot of the information locked in my brain already. So it really wasn't that difficult for me to compile the information for the books. One of the things that I'm trying to do, number one, I'm trying to inspire young people to read. And hip hop is something that young people love. You know, it's pretty much catered to young people. So I'm trying to inspire them to read, and at the same time, I'm trying to bridge the gaps of the different generations of hip hop, because you have a lot of young people today that don't really understand or respect some of the artists, such as Grandmaster Flash, and what their significance was to hip-hop, you know what I'm saying, Curtis Blow, some of those older artists who laid the foundation for rap to be what it is today. And so it's a way of trying to bridge together the generations and inspire young people to read.
And actually, you answered kind of my next question. Do you find it a difficult role to bridge that gap between? Because I think that's why that's so sad. You know, I go and I don't want to, at least my age, I'll put it this way. If it was a temperature, it would be in the early 30s or close to mid-30s. But, you know, I grew up on this stuff, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. My brother used to play it, and my sister, and, you know, they used to go to clubs. And so I grew up on that music as well. But nowadays, it seems like anyone that's born after, I would say maybe after 1990, 1992, they don't know about, you know, if you explain to them about, you know, Run DMC or, you know, Fat Boys, or about, you know, even with Curtis Blow, they're like, who? And it just seems so sad, because, like, number one, it not only makes you feel a little old, but I was like, it just seems like, you know, for some generation of kids who, you know, I would think that loves hip-hop rap music, you know, that they don't know the history of it, where it started or when it started. They just know the now. And so do you find that bridging the gap with the youth a little hard to do, or is it something that you see that's slowly being learned by the younger generation?
I think it's coming along, but very slowly, very slowly. But I do think that some of the work that I'm doing, along with the work some of the other artists are doing, are sort of bringing along the generation and kind of feeding them information about hip-hop in the beginning stages. You know, I can remember when Jay-Z started with Jazzo with the song Hawaiian Sophie back in the 80s. So a lot of people today, you know, and this is 2011, so, you know, you're talking about Jay-Z being pretty much in the industry for a number of years. But, yeah, I can remember that. I remember when Dr. Dre was a part of the World Class Wrecking Crew back in the 80s. You know, with Michelle. Yeah, and this was with DJ Yella before they became NWA. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, there's a lot of rich history. And a lot of times what happens is that a lot of young people today really don't have a clear understanding of the history of hip-hop, which is why I'm trying to bridge those generations so that they can see the contributions and some of the sacrifices that the early generation made, because they weren't embraced the way the artists are today. So that makes a big difference. And while we're at it, while I'm thinking about it, I just want to let you know I got a special guest that's going to join me tonight for this conversation. That's going to be Charlie Prince of Rockmaster Scott and the Dynamic Three fame. So he should be calling in on the show tonight. So that, you know,
hopefully soon, because we're only a half hour show, so hopefully y'all did too. before he calls in, well, I'll be looking for him here on the switchboard. I guess let's get ahead to your brand new book, Hip Hop Array, Celebrating 30 Years of Rap Music. Tell us a little bit about the book and exactly, the audience for this, and exactly what we'll read when we open up the book.
Oh, you're going to you're going to be able to pretty much have a firsthand experience of the entire history of hip hop. It's going to you're going to see things that happened before records were made in hip hop. You're going to see information, some of the greatest moments throughout the history of hip hop being detailed. And, of course, having some of the artists' firsthand experience when I spoke with, you know, Grandmaster Melly Mel of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, and, you know, Curtis Blow and Sal from the famous Disco Fever. you're going to hear firsthand accounts from them about some of the experiences of hip-hop and some of the things that they went through, you know, with putting together some of the, you know, Disco Fever, you know, which was used in the movie Crush Groove, you know. So Sal is basically one of the, he's one of the most important personalities in hip hop, but he did a lot of his work behind the scenes. So when you, if you understand the history of hip hop, you probably, you know, you'll see Run DMC, you'll see Grandmaster Flash, but some of the people that work behind the scenes to make this all happen, you know, so you're going to be able to hear firsthand accounts from them in the book as well. So it's something that I'm excited about. And it, like I said, it traces hip hop from day one up to now, and it includes everybody from 50 Cent and, you know, Jay-Z to Nas, you know, Snoop, Ice Cube. So, you know, it basically covers every generation and every decade of hip hop up to this point.
Fantastic. And they can also find this book when it comes out on Amazon as well? And
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And also check out, like I said, check out his website. I can't mention it so many times. I can, yeah, www.seanxlg.com. It's SEANXLG.com. So a couple of quick questions here while we're kind of waiting here. I don't, I'm looking at, check out the switchboard to see if he calls in. But who do you think is the most influential, probably, hip-hop or rap artist today? You know, there's, you know, there's so many different acts out there. There's so many people that, you know, the kids follow. Who do you think, you know, now is influential as some of the earlier groups were, you know, back then?
I would say as far as being influential, Lil Wayne, I think he's one of the Eminem, Jay-Z. I think those guys are pretty much held as the standard for what's going on in rap today. I think Drake, Nicki Minaj, I think those are pretty much the, even Young Jeezy to a certain extent. You know, I think those guys are out, and I think they pretty much set the standard for what's going on in hip-hop today.
Now, this is one of those little funny questions that I'll have to ask your opinion on. Now, rap in itself and hip-hop, you know, it really has just come along really the last 30-some years. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's been a lot of talk, and I've read a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of acts now that started out in the 80s, you know, who are now, you know, being eligible for the Hall of Fame. And there's, you know, there's a quite a bit of backlash of people about accepting rappers in the Hall of Fame. Do you think that, I guess, with a lot of these early acts, that they will, I mean, do you think that that backlash will eventually die down and they'll be accepted, you know, I guess, quote, as a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee? Or do you think that, you know, eventually we may have to branch out and have something along the lines of a rap hip-hop Hall of Fame? I hope not. I hope it's accepted. But what's your thoughts on that?
I think basically with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, if you're looking at it from the standard of rock music and you're trying to use that as pretty much the parameter of the forms of music that you are going to, of the artists that you're going to induct, you know, I can understand a certain extent as to why there's some resistance with certain hip-hop acts. At the same time, I think there are certain rap acts like Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five that were inducted into the hip-hop, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, along as well as Run DMC. I think their music, I think what they did, their contributions in hip-hop, which crossed over to the pop charts and then to some of the rock arenas, I think they deserve those inductions. But I don't think it's for all rap artists. You know, I think if you talk about the Fat Boys, I think the Fat Boys can be inducted. I think Afrika Bambaataa of the Soul Sonic Force, I think they can be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame simply because of what they did with hip-hop and how they utilized a multitude of different sounds, which included rock, and expanding rap and the audience of hip hop to cover those different areas of music. And I think those kind of acts within hip hop should be included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And at the same time, I do think it will be a great idea for hip hop to have its own Hall of Fame as well.
Definitely. Now, I was going to say, in talking about all three books again, if you definitely are looking for, and I would tell all of you out there that are listening, if you're definitely looking for an ultimate history in rap and or hip hop and you can't find it, definitely go and buy these books, because I think that, you know, you'll get not only, you know, from Sean's expertise in being in this and talking with the voices that were there. And like I said, it's just a good thing to have in your collection, and I think it's also a great thing, too, is that, you know, you're right, in order to really get the kids to know about the history, and, you know, it's so important, and I think, you know, you talk about, you know, either general history or this history, and I think it's so sad that, you know, a lot of people don't know, and, you know, and for it to be a topic in which it's something that any kid can relate to. It's
right.
You know, I'd say, hey, as it graduates, there's a lot of people graduating this year, buy this book. You know, if they're a rap hip hop fan, buy this book. Have them read it. Have them read about the history and, you know, how it's actually gone. And I would say to you, I'm gonna put you at the spot here. If you were to have a Mount Rushmore of rap hip hop and you could put four artists on there who literally, I guess, represent what rap hip hop is, who would you put on there and why?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. Oh man. You know, I think if I had to put the top four personalities in the history of hip hop, I would have to say number one would have to be Kool Herc, because Kool Herc started the whole, he's the father of the entire hip hop movement. So I would have to put Kool Herc on there. I would have to put Melly Mel, the first MC in the history of hip hop. I would have to put Melly Mel on there. Let's see. Number three, I would have to go with Grandmaster Flash, because Grandmaster Flash took what Herc did and basically elevated what Herc did to a whole nother level. So I would have to include Bambaataa. And number four, oh man, number four, let's see, of all the important personalities, wow, I would, man, you know, you got me right there, you know, you could use, yeah, you could use quite a few different people. You know, I'm thinking in my mind of contributions of some of the artists and then some of the other personalities. But, you know, as far, because I would say hip hop leans more towards the music aspect of it. The rap part of hip hop is probably the most dominant part of hip hop is the rap. And so if I'm going to do that, I'm going to put Kumo D as the fourth face on the Mount Rushmore of hip-hop. And that's because he took the lyrical elements of being an MC, and he elevated it to the point that he's primarily the reason why you had a Rakim and a Big Daddy Kane and a Kool G Rap that came in the game late in the 80s, who influenced some of the guys that came out in the 90s. They actually built upon Kumo D's foundation as far as being a lyricist. So I would say I would put Kumo D there. Oh man, and then another 30 minutes I'm gonna think of a few other people.
Yeah, we're gonna have
right. Really
got 5
exactly.
minutes left for the show. I'm not sure if we're gonna have a chance to get Mr. Prince on, but I'd love to bring you back if we can't get him on and have you two just talk about the history of this. So, but I guess with 5 minutes to go, I want to ask you about the current state of hip-hop. Now, a lot of people that I know, you know, especially, I guess, the older generation, seems to be a little bit detached from, like, the current rap artists that are out there. And, you know, from what I hear from a lot of people, it's because, you know, it's really not like it used to be. You know, it seems that now, you know, every rap song has fallen into that same rut where it's either about money or sex or about this or about that. But, you know, as you said, it's lost its art of storytelling. Do you think that because there's not, I mean, there are some artists out there that still capture that art of storytelling, but do you think that, I mean, it perhaps hurts a little bit that they don't have, like, those storytellers like back in the day, like a, you know, like a lot of artists were? I mean, the raps told a story, and now it seems like it really doesn't. Have you
I think that would help. And but in general, I think having another level of creativity, bringing that back into hip hop, because during the golden era of hip hop in the mid to late 80s, that's considered the golden era because you had a variety of rap songs that were out there. You had storytelling. You had what Ice-T was doing out in L.A. With the early forms of what they would later call gangster rap. You had music that Houdini was making with songs like Friends and Freaks Come Out at Night. UTFO was out with Roxanne. You had Go See the Doctor, Kumo D, and How You Like Me Now. LL was doing this thing with the love rap, you know. So you had a variety of hip-hop. You had Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh doing their thing, Salt and Pepper doing songs like Push It and My Mic Sounds Nice. So you had, you know, Rakim dropping knowledge and, you know, in his songs, Follow the Leader, and, you know, those types of hits that were coming out during that time era. So you had a variety. And because of that variety, you could pick and choose, you know, what type of rap that you wanted to listen to. But in today's game, you don't have that variety. It seems like everything is pretty much set in a certain way where you have to come out with this type of music, you have to come out with this type of image, you have to say this and say that, make references to this and that on the street level, and, you know, and that's what makes a star. It's almost like you're manufacturing stars today as opposed to going back and letting the artists be creative and doing the music that, you know, that they feel that they can do and be successful with it.
And with that, we will leave and close the book on those words from definitely a person who is a true hip-hop rap historian and author, Sean XLG Mitchell. And Sean, I cannot thank you enough for appearing on the program. The new book is entitled Hip Hop Hooray, Celebrating 30 Years of Rap Music, and the other books that are out that Sean has authored, Throw Your Hands in the Air, The Funky Evolution of Hip-Hop, and The Roof is on Fire, 101 Greatest Moments in Hip-Hop. You can catch his tunes over on iTunes, as he said, and you can go to his website at www.seanxlg.com. Is there any other websites we can catch you on, Sean?
That's it for right now, but pretty soon we'll be on Amber Books as well on their website. So they can check that out in a few weeks, and they'll be able to see the new book, Hip Hop Array, Celebrating 30 Years of Rap Music. And thank you for having me as a guest on the show. Looking forward to coming back.
I'd love to have you guys back around just to sit and talk about the history of this. There's so many questions that we can't even get through. So, once again, Sean, thank you so much for appearing. We'll definitely work on getting you back, especially after the books come out and you're on the book tour and, you know, you're out there and, you know, everyone's had a chance to get a copy in their hands, and we'll definitely sit and talk about all of that as well. And we'll also put links to Sean's website on our page on Facebook, on Blog Talk Radio News and Comment Network, all of our Lola. So we'll have the links there as well as to where you can get that. And as soon as the book comes out, we'll have the links. So we'll definitely be on the lookout for it, Sean. And I can't thank you enough for appearing. Thank you so much, and have a great opening for that book. And I hope that, you know, everyone gets a chance to go out and read it.
All right. I really appreciate the love.
All right, and that will do it for the 411 Lounge. I am LeVar Evans, and like I said, I'd like to thank our guest once again, Sean XLG Mitchell. Until next week, mate, thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.